The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays. Enjoyment of the forthcoming Great Plays scheduled for this series can be greatly increased by your obtaining a copy of The Listener's Aid, published through the cooperation of the University Press of Columbia University in New York City. At the conclusion of today's program, we will tell you how to obtain a copy of the Great Plays Drama Guide. Now, the Great Play for today. Helen Jerome's dramatization of the Jane Austen novel, Pride and Prejudice, with Jessica Tandy as Elizabeth Bennet and Colin Keith Johnston as Darcy.
Mr. Bennet! Oh, good heavens, where has that man got to? Like a policeman, never find him when you want him. Mr. Bennet! No use in hiding. I see you. Where are you? Mr. Bennet!
It is the year 1800. On the continent, Napoleon and his endless wars are creating havoc and confusion. In England, near Hertfordshire, a certain Mrs. Bennet is also creating havoc and confusion, on a smaller scale perhaps, but nonetheless definitely. Mr. Bennet, as Mrs. B is beginning to suspect, has sought refuge in his library. But it's to be feared that Mrs. B will soon track him down.
Ah, you naughty man.
Oh, dear. She found me at last. What is it, my dear?
My dear, Mr. Bennet, have you heard the news?
I have not.
It's of tremendous importance to all of us.
Well, can't it wait till I finish this chapter?
No, this means more than any book that has ever been written. The great house at Netherfield has been let at last.
Not really.
Yes, it's true. Mrs. Long has just been here and told me. Well, don't you want to know who has taken it?
You want to tell me, I have no objection to hearing it.
Well, my dear, he's a young man of large fortune from the north of England. He's already installed with a retinue of servants.
What's his name?
His name is Bingley.
Married or single?
Oh, single, my dear, to be sure, with 4,000 or 5,000 a year. Oh, what a splendid thing for one of our girls.
How so? How can it affect them?
Mr. B, how can you be so tiresome? You must know that I'm thinking of his marrying one of them.
Is that his design in settling here?
Design? Nonsense. It's quite likely that he'll fall in love with one of them. So you see, you must visit him as soon as possible.
Oh, I see no occasion for that. You and the girls may go, or you may send them by themselves. That may be wiser. For you are as handsome as any of them. Mr. Bingley might like you the best of the party.
Oh, please flatter me. But when a woman has 3 grown daughters, it's time she gave over thinking of her own beauty. But you will call on Mr. Bingley at once.
Oh, come now. That's going too far. You know my habits.
Mr. Bennet, do you never think of your daughters' futures? Do you realize that with our estate entailed, that they will be practically penniless when you die? Think of that odious cousin of yours, that Colin.
I've had a letter.
Now, Mr. Bennet, don't try to change the subject. We're not talking about letters. We're talking of Colin.
Exactly, Mrs. Bennet, and the letter is from Mr. Collins, informing me that he intends to visit us shortly.
Oh, what's to become of us? Collins coming here, odious creature, inheriting our home, you entailing your estate away from your own daughters.
Is it really impossible for you to grasp the fact that the law of entail was not of my devising, Mrs. Bennet? The law dictates that all estates shall be inherited by male descendants only. And we have no son, as possibly you remember.
Oh, Mr. Bennet, how can you criticize me? You have no compassion on my nerves.
You are mistaken, my dear. I have a high regard for your nerves. I have heard you mention them with consideration for these last 20 years.
Yes, but you don't know what I suffer.
Oh, that's right, my dear. Have a nice little cry. It always seems to help your nerves. Oh, good Lord, I'll go out and get some air. My horse needs exercising. I'll be back in half an hour for tea.
Back for tea. Let him miss his tea. It will do him good.
Hello, Mama.
Oh, good afternoon, Mama.
Oh, my poor dear daughters, what's to become of you?
Mama, weren't your eyes a little bit red? You weren't crying before we came, were you?
Yes, Jane, your papa, of all the selfish, inconsiderate men, disobliging, cantankerous...
What unspeakable thing has he done this time?
Don't cross your limbs, Elizabeth. Refuses to call on Mr. Bingley for no reason in the world.
Did you ask him to?
Of course.
And you call that no reason? Why, don't you know yet that men instinctively refuse everything we ask them to do? And end by doing it.
But that doesn't sound sensible.
Who said they were sensible, Jane? I wager that the papa is on his way to Netherfield at this very moment.
Well, who cares whether we meet Mr. Bingley or not? I don't, for one. I prefer men in uniform. Military ones.
Really, Lydia, I can't imagine where you get your queer ideas.
Well, upon my word, look!
What is it?
Lydia, you shouldn't be staring out of the window. Let me see. Oh, it's your father and two gentlemen. Oh, my dear, then none of you dressed in your taffetas.
Well, here we are, gentlemen. Mrs. Bennett, let me present our new neighbors. Mr. Bingley, my wife.
Oh, Mr. Bingley.
Mom, Mr. Darcy, my wife.
Charles.
Mom. My daughters, Miss Jane.
How do you do, Mr. Bingley?
Miss Elizabeth.
Mr. Darcy.
Miss Lydia.
Oh,
dear. Have some tea left for us, Mrs. Bennett?
All of a tremble. Lydia, ring for him, my love.
Yes, Mama.
So charm, my dear sir.
Your servant, ma'am.
I was riding to Netherfield to call on these gentlemen and actually met them en route to the village.
Oh, it's so nice to have some eligible young men in the neighborhood at last, Mr. Bingley. I hope we shall see you often this winter.
I think I can promise that, ma'am.
I hope you are finding our part of the country to your liking, Mr. Darcy.
I do not care for the country, Miss Bennett.
What a pity. Then it must irk you to be compelled to live in it.
What? Not care for the country, sir? Oh, surely you don't prefer London to Derbyshire.
One moves in such a confined circle outside big cities.
Indeed. Well, I, for one, don't agree with you. The only advantages big cities have over us is their shops. It's true, we can't buy anything we really want in the high street at Meryton, and it certainly upsets me at times.
Tea, Mr. Darcy.
Does it really?
I hear from Mrs. Long that your drawing room is such a charming prospect over the gravel walk, Mr. Bingley.
Yes,
I really don't know a place in the country to equal Netherfield for its view. You'll not think of leaving us in a hurry, I hope, even though you have only such a short lease.
Lease? I see you've not been idle, Mrs. Bennett.
Well, everything I do is done in a hurry. When I fall in love, I expect it'll be the same.
Tea, Mr. Bingley.
Oh, thank you. Don't you agree that it's best to decide the things on an impulse, Miss Jane?
That isn't anything to boast of, my dear fellow. It's a sign of a far from solid character.
Thank goodness for that. Mr. Bingley seems far too charming for solidity.
You begin to understand me, Miss Bennett.
Perfectly.
Is that a compliment, to be so transparent?
In this case, yes. It is not always the deep people who are the charming ones.
Charming ones often cause the most trouble, though.
So, you are a student of character, Miss Bennett.
At times.
You must have little opportunity to exercise your gift here.
On the contrary, sir.
See, Elizabeth.
I am of the opinion that those who live in the country belong to the country.
Well, as for me, I like them both. City or country, wherever I am, I'm happy. Give me a horse, a long road, a whiff of hay.
More tea, Mr. Bingley.
And a country rose.
That is because you have a nice disposition, Mr. Bingley. That gentleman seems to think the green fields are beneath him.
Indeed, Mama, you misunderstand Mr. Darcy. He only means that city people are different from us. May I give you some more tea, Mr. Darcy? I'm sure yours has grown cold.
Oh, thank you very much. It is to my liking. I rarely drink it warmer.
Oh.
Now, Mrs. Bennett, what about releasing the gentleman to come to the library for a glass of Madeira? That homicidal feeling is creeping over me that invariably attacks me at tea parties.
Well, that's very good in you, sir, but we must be getting back to Netherfield. My sister is alone.
You mustn't believe that Mr. Bennett really wishes to murder my guest, sir. He's not such a bear as he pretends. If you continue to say things like that, the gentleman will begin to pity me.
Indeed, ma'am. We should never dream of pitying you.
Your servant, ma'am. I trust we may look forward to your visit to Netherfield very soon. With your daughters. My sister is impatient to receive you.
Dear Miss Bingley, we shall call tomorrow. I want to be quite certain of securing you both for our little assembly next month.
What?
Oh, that's most kind of you, ma'am.
We usually give our ball about this time.
We shall be continuously pleased to come. You may rest assured of that.
Whatever is Mama talking of? A ball here?
Jane,
he likes you.
Likes me?
Why, Lizzie, whoever do you mean?
I don't mean Mr. Darcy, for I doubt that he likes anyone. With the probable exception of himself. But Mr. Bingley,
There's a gentleman of rare intelligence and perception. From the first moment he laid eyes on you, he could look at no one else. I approve of him for that.
Oh, my darling Lizzie, for all the worldly wisdom that you delight to assume, you have a truth.
Never have I been so insulted.
Do not dare to deny it. And someday some man will discover it and he will make you love him desperately, marvelously.
Perhaps, my sweet. But I haven't yet met the man who could inspire so much as a flicker of interest.
Not Mr. Darcy.
Oh, that Mr. Darcy. What a disagreeable, hurried man. So high and conceited. Dear me, there was no enduring him.
Well, has his royal highness departed? Heavens, I hope I never meet such a conceited prig again.
Lydia, my love, where did you get to?
I couldn't stand the majestic atmosphere of Mr. Darcy, Mama. He made me feel much too inferior.
Well, never mind. Even though you are the youngest, you're just as pretty as Lizzie. Mr. Bingley is sure to dance with you at our ball.
Our ball? What ball, Mama?
The one your papa and I are giving next month.
How exciting!
Thank you for the news of my intentions, Mrs. Bennet. But may I crave a little further information?
Why don't you tell us beforehand of your intentions, Mama?
Well, I only knew it myself just before I said it.
Well, I may be unduly inquisitive, Mrs. Bennet, but may I ask who is going to pay for this ball?
You, of course, you silly man. How do you ever expect me to find husbands for your daughters if you persist in being so stingy with me?
You must invite all the officers from Colonel Forster's regiment, Mama. I'll give you their names.
Only those with private incomes, my dear. It's just as easy to fall in love with one of them.
Oh, Mama.
Is it not a relief to get away from all those dancing dervishes? Will you have some of this punch, Mama?
Mr. Bingley was saying what a good idea it was to have refreshments here in the conservatory, away from the supper room, where a fellow could have his tipple in peace. Oh, nice young gentleman, isn't he?
Quite charming. Jane seems to think so, too. How lovely the darling looks tonight. Her eyes are like stars. I wonder if her shyness is such an asset, though.
You fear Bingley might need encouragement?
Few men possess enough heart to be really in love without it, Mama.
Well, I'm sure Jane will be quite sensible. If only she could get him alone for a few minutes. But that Darcy fellow, I can't abide him.
Speaking of the devil, Darcy, he's coming now.
Well, shall we go?
Mr. Bingley. Oh, no, stay here. They can't see us behind these shrouds.
Well, shall we have a glass in the conservatory before the next dance, Darcy?
I'll have the glass, but not the dance, thank you.
Oh, Darcy, what are you thinking of? The evening's nearly over. You must dance. Come, be a good fellow.
I realize that I'm not contributing much to the gaiety of the assembly, but it is difficult to be a good fellow on such an occasion.
But aren't any of the young ladies to your taste?
I should call them all uncommonly pretty.
And Miss Jane is the prettiest of all. Really, Darcy, you're notoriously lacking in appreciation. But did you ever behold anyone more exquisitely lovely?
If you wish me to agree with you, I shall be glad to do so.
And what of her sister? She's quite pretty, too.
What, Miss Elizabeth?
Yes.
She is the one above all others that I prefer to avoid.
Oh, but really, she's most agreeable.
On the contrary, she is one of the most disagreeable young women I've ever had the ill luck to encounter.
Really, that man is impossible.
Shame on you, Darcy. She's a delightful girl. Come along and find out for yourself. Let's go find her.
Oh, very well, for your sake. But I'll only stand up with her once.
You may be.
Why do we tolerate that man?
No doubt because he is of the very rich. Those who do not envy the tribe adore him.
Well, I shall see that he does not come here again.
You forget, dear, that he is the bosom friend of Bingley and may influence him against Jane.
But...
Shh, Miss Wickham.
Oh, Miss Elizabeth and Mrs. Bennet, I was looking for you to bid you good night. I'm leaving at once. You'll excuse me. Something very unpleasant.
Unpleasant? Here?
I would rather not talk about it.
But, Mr. Wickham, I insist.
Well, just now, in the ballroom, Mr. Darcy...
Mr. Darcy? What is he garden?
Your sister, Miss Lydia, wished to present me to Miss Bingley. Mr. Darcy was with her at the moment. They declined to be introduced and walked away.
This is beyond bearing. But why? I was not aware that you and Mr. Darcy had ever met before.
We knew each other only too well.
And yet he declined to meet you?
A gentleman would have more consideration for his hostess.
I'm not qualified to form any opinion of Mr. Darcy. I've known him too long and too well to be a fair judge.
Oh, this is outrageous. I'll not have that man in my home another minute. I'm afraid, Mr. Bennet. Don't tell him of it. Excuse.
Oh, please, Mrs. Bennet, too late.
But, Mr. Wickham, why did he offer you such an affront?
Please do not ask me, Miss Bennet. I do not wish to injure him in your eyes. If you will permit me, I'll say good night. He might come in. I would not subject you to a repetition of the disgraceful scene in the ballroom.
Indeed, he would never dare. But may I ask why you are so anxious to avoid him, Mr. Wickham?
I have no reason, except a sense of a very great injustice. I wish to spare him the embarrassment of meeting me.
Injustice? I'm full of sympathy.
You're so kind, Mrs. Elizabeth.
Tell me, where did you know him?
My father was manager of a Darcy estate in Derbyshire.
Oh.
When the elder Darcy died, he left instruction that his son should bestow upon me a sum of money.
May one ask why, Mr. Wickham?
I was his godson. He was very fond of me.
I was also to receive the clerical living in his gift at Pemberley.
But surely Mr. Darcy obeyed his dead father's wishes?
He refused me both the living and the money.
The wretch!
I was forced to enter the army, a life I detest.
But what can have induced him to behave so cruelly?
Determined dislike of me, which I can attribute only to jealousy.
Indeed, I do not like Mr. Darcy, but I could hardly have believed him dishonest. And I should have thought him too proud to be. But wait, Mr. Darcy is returning now. Stay, and we shall confront him together.
Thank you for your sympathy, Miss Elizabeth. It's been very precious to me, but really, I shouldn't care to see Darcy again. Convey my apologies and regrets to Mrs. Bennet. I'll go this way.
Oh, Miss Elizabeth, they are playing the last extra. May I have the honor?
Thank you, sir. I'm too tired to dance anymore. Besides, I fear the honor would be more than I could bear.
Have I had the misfortune to offend you?
It is rather Mr. Wickham whom you have offended, sir. One of my mother's guests.
It is more than he merits, ma'am.
I beg your pardon. I found him very charming. And I'm sure my mother did.
He is blessed with a charm that makes new friendships. I doubt if he possesses the quality to retain them.
He certainly lacked the talent to retain yours. Did you enjoy the music, Mr. Darcy?
Very much, thank you.
It's your turn to make a remark now.
Whatever you wish me to say, you may consider said.
Very well. I dare say there are times when perhaps it is better to limit the conversation to yes or no.
Are you consulting your own wishes, or do you imagine that you are gratifying mine?
Both. I recognize our similarity. We are each unsociable and taciturn, reluctant to speak unless we can say something that will astonish the whole room or be handed down to posterity.
I hardly think that describes your character, Miss Bennet. You are probably describing mine and include yourself out of pity for my wounded feelings.
Have you any, Mr. Darcy?
Evidently you have decided as to that.
I hear such different accounts of you. I'm puzzled. When you are present, some of your reports seem difficult to believe.
Why bother to try to solve the puzzle? It's much easier to...
Really, Mr. Darcy, I find this distinctly embarrassing. If you will forgive me.
Lizzie, dear!
What is it, Mama?
Come along and meet Mr. Collins. He's just this moment arrived and is very anxious to see you. It'll be nice for you, dear, speaking to a gentleman.
I'll be there directly, Mama. Now, Mr. Darcy, you must excuse me.
Well, of course, with a certain amount of reluctance.
I'm quite sure.
Before you go, tell me, who is the fortunate gentleman, Mr. Collins?
My father's cousin, sir. He wishes to marry me, I believe.
And will you accept?
I won't know, sir, until he asks me.
Oh, there you are, Mrs. Bennet.
Oh, Mr. Collins, we haven't seen much of you since the ball. We have missed you.
Thank you, ma'am. But I had two sermons to prepare in readiness for my return to my parish. And now, nothing remains to be done before my lamented departure on Wednesday, except...
I wonder if I can guess. Oh,
You naughty boy.
Have I your permission, and Mr. Bennett's, of course, to pay my addresses to your fair daughter, Miss Elizabeth, ma'am? I should like an interview with her this morning, if possible, before I write to my revered patroness, Lady Catherine.
Oh, nothing would give me greater pleasure, sir. Elizabeth!
Then you will persuade her to grant me a private audience?
Yes, yes, my dear Mr. Collins, at once. Lily, my love! Where on earth did my girls go? They were here just now.
Her shyness, no doubt, my dear Mrs. Bennett. Miss Elizabeth is avoiding me out of maidenly modesty.
Are you calling me, Mama? Oh, Mr. Collins, have you finished your sermon? If you'll excuse me, I want to reply to this letter from Mr. Wickham.
No, Lizzie, Mr. Collins has something to say to you. Elizabeth, I desire you to remain here.
But Mr. Collins can have nothing to say to me that won't wait, Mama.
It's perfectly understandable and indeed proper that a young girl should display this modesty, my dear Mrs. Bennett. Pray don't blame your charming daughter.
Well, I really must go and see about the weather. Yes, the weather. So much rain, you know.
You can hardly be in doubt as to what I'm about to propose, my dear and lovely Elizabeth. Your natural delicacy may lead you to dissemble, but I flatter myself that my attentions have been too marked to be mistaken. I have singled you out as the companion of my future life. And before my feelings run away with me, I owe it to you to tell you the reasons. That very noble lady, my patroness, has condescended to advise me to marry, and even goes so far as to promise to visit. Yes, actually visit the lady I bring to the parsonage as my wife, if I choose wisely. Another reason, my fair cousin, is that you have the honor of knowing her nephew, Mr. Darcy. The mere fact of your acquaintance with him would do much to recommend you to her favor. And, charming and genteel as he is, his manners are as nothing to those of his noble aunt. You can learn so much from her. Well, these, dear Miss Elizabeth, are my motives. And now, nothing remains but to assure you of the violence of my affection. I know that £1,000 invested at 4% is all that you will have as dowry. And even that you will not receive until your mother's death, which lamentable event may not occur for several, nay, for many years. But you can rest assured that on that score, no ungenerous word shall ever pass my lips after we are married.
Aren't you being a little hasty, sir? You seem to forget that I have made no answer to this dazzling offer. I appreciate the honor you have done me. But candor compels me to decline it.
Indeed. I understand, dear Miss Elizabeth. Yes, it's quite a charming and delicate custom for young ladies to say no when they mean yes. I am therefore not at all discouraged and shall hope to lead you to the altar before very long.
Upon my word, sir, you are difficult to discourage. I assure you I am not one of those idiotic young ladies you describe, if indeed they exist outside of novels. Difficult as it seems for you to believe, I will not marry you.
Come, Miss Elizabeth.
You could not make me happy, and I certainly could not make you, sir.
Such charming modesty.
What is more, I have no ambition to try. And if your friend, the Lady Catherine de Bourgh, really knew me, she would utterly disapprove of me for the exalted position you offer.
Oh, if I thought Lady Catherine would disapprove... Oh, but no. Impossible. You can be sure that when I have the honor of seeing her ladyship again...
You had better ask her to choose for you. Only select a young woman with a humbler and more contrite heart.
Ah, no, my dear cousin. My mind is made up. And I am too well aware that it is by no means certain that any other gentleman will ever make you an offer. So I naturally understand that your rejection of my suit is according to the usual practice of elegant females.
Oh, I see. Well, if you can, try to stop thinking of me as an elegant female. Just picture me as a rational creature with the most inelegant habit of speaking the truth.
You're quite adorable.
Mr. Collins!
And I'm certain now that when my proposal is formally sanctioned by your excellent parents, that you will plainly say yes.
No, Mr. Collins. I will as plainly as possible say no.
She loves me. She loves me.
Well... My dear future son-in-law, am I to wish you joy?
Thank you. Indeed, I trust I have every reason to be satisfied. Of course, I know that my cousin's refusal...
What?
..naturally springs from her bashful modesty.
Refusal? And... With her, that does not mean acceptance, but...
You think she means it?
Never mind, my dear boy. I'll convince her. Headstrong, foolish girl. She never knows her own interests. But I'll teach her.
Headstrong? Foolish? Oh, dear me. Those qualities will not make her a very desirable wife. If she actually persists in rejecting my suit, I pray you, ma'am, I pray you do not force her. I fear that if she has those defects, she will hardly succeed in making me happy.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. No. The dear child is merely willful in these matters and so shy. You can't imagine. Mm. All her life, she's run away from admiration. She's a veritable gazelle, I assure you. Now, just wait a minute. I'll call her papa. He always brings her to her senses.
Oh, headstrong. Foolish. Oh, dear me. Perhaps I'd better go off somewhere and reconsider. Let's see. Oh, the garden. Yes. Headstrong. Foolish.
Oh, Mr. Bennett. Oh, Mr. Bennett, you're always so slow. We're all in an uproar. Come quickly. You must use your authority.
What is the matter, Mrs. Bennett?
Why, he's gone. Mr. Collins has gone, Mr. Bennett. Oh, my dear, you must do something. Mr. Collins! Lizzie refuses to marry Mr. Collins. You must force her to change her mind. You must make haste, Mr. Bennett, or he will change his and not have her.
I have not the pleasure of understanding you. May I ask what you are talking about?
Of Mr. Collins and Lizzie. Lizzie declares she won't have him, and he begins to say he won't have her.
Then it seems to be entirely settled on both sides. What am I supposed to do?
Elizabeth! Tell her you insist on her marrying him. Elizabeth!
Where is this misguided girl?
Here, sir.
Come here, my child. I understand that Mr. Collins has made you an offer and that you refused it.
I have, Papa.
Very well, let's come to the point. Your mother insists on your accepting him. Isn't that so, Mrs. Bennett?
Or else I shall never speak to her again.
And it seems an unhappy alternative awaits you, Lizzie. From this day forth, you must be a stranger to one of your parents. Your mother will never speak to you again if you do not marry Mr. Collins. And I will never speak to you again if you do.
Oh, well, thank heaven we're rid of Collins for the day.
What? Where?
He's just ridden off to the Lucases. He can't be back for hours.
Oh, now see what you've done, Lizzie, you ungrateful girl. You've lost him. And that plain-faced, scheming little cat Charlotte Lucas will get him and turn us all out of here when your father dies.
Nonsense. Charlotte wouldn't look at him.
Not so hasty, Lizzie. Charlotte can't afford to be as particular as you. And she knows it.
Lizzie, how can you decide to be an old maid? Oh, what a family I have. Lydia, why didn't you stop him? He might have had you.
Rubbish. Lizzie will be no old maid. Grant made a little judgment, my dear. The ineffable Collins is not the only example of his sex, thank heaven.
Oh, Jane, dear.
Yes, Mama, did you want me?
Oh, Jane, Lizzie is done for. She's going to be an old maid. You've been crying, Jane. Don't tell me that anything's gone wrong between you and Mr. Bingley. Oh.
Ha, ha, ha. We seem to be the three graces that nobody wants.
Lydia, it's nothing, Mama. Jane had a letter from Caroline Bingley, from London.
London? You don't mean they've left Netherfield?
They've only gone up to see some of the playhouses, Mama. I'm sure they'll be back.
I think Mr. Bingley should have made an offer for you to your father before going to London. He's compromised you enough with his attention.
Don't, Mama.
I'll get Mr. Bennett. Come along, Lydia.
Oh, darling. Darling, he'll come back.
But, Lizzie, he hasn't sent one word, not one. I can't understand it. Carolyn merely tells me they're not coming back until the spring.
There, darling. I know. It's the disillusionment that cuts the very heart.
But to abandon me without a word. What could I have done to him? He loved me, Lizzie. He did. He kissed me once. And I kissed him. You believe, don't you, that I should never have done that if I hadn't been sure he wanted to make me an offer. Don't you, Lizzie?
Of course I do, my lamb.
And you suppose he understands that, too? I wouldn't have him think ill of me.
It's all a mystery to me. When I met him, he seemed such a properly nice young man.
Oh, he is. I do assure you, Lizzie, he is. And now it's all over. I can't bear it. I can't.
Don't cry, darling. Everything will turn out all right.
I'll write to Lady de Bourgh this evening and contrive an invitation to London. I'll bring Charles Bingley back to you if I have to use Papa's horse pistol.
Darcy, I thought you said my guest was in the garden.
I thought I saw her from the library window. Oh, there she is. Good morning, Miss Elizabeth.
Good morning, Mr. Darcy. Good morning, Lady Catherine.
Good morning.
I've been admiring your prospect. It's a delightful view.
That, Miss Bennet, is not a view at all. My estate would require a month at least to appreciate all its varied prospects. Darcy, go away. I wish to question this young lady.
I believe Miss Bennet wishes to finish her walk, Aunt Catherine.
Nonsense, Darcy. I haven't had sufficient leisure to become acquainted with Miss Bennet since her arrival. Go along with you, Darcy. Go along. Be off. Be off. Now, my child, you did not finish telling me about your sisters last evening. How many did you say you had?
Two, Your Ladyship.
And how many carriages does your papa keep, my dear?
One, Lady Catherine.
Oh. What was your mamma's maiden name?
Gardner, ma'am. And she has a brother who lives in Cheapside. He's a greengrocer.
I choose not to have heard. Do you play, my child, and sing?
A little.
I am happy to hear it. Music is, of all subjects, my delight. I should have been most proficient if I had learned. Has your governess left you?
We never had a governess.
What? No governess? Great heavens, I've never heard of such a thing. Your mamma must have been a perfect slave to your education.
Oh, no.
Pray, what is your age?
As I am still unmarried, Your Ladyship can hardly expect me to answer that question.
You can't be more than 20, so there's plenty of time before you need begin lying about your age. If you receive no offer before you're 30, why then...
Is there anything else you would like to know about me, Lady Catherine?
Well, my dear, I think you've told us enough about yourself for this morning. We can hear the rest another time.
Oh, good morning, Aunt. Ah, good morning, Miss Elizabeth.
Good morning, sir.
Fitzwilliam, I fully appreciate all that you have done for England as a soldier for His Majesty, but you're expected to appear in time for breakfast here. Do you understand?
Oh, forgive me. I overslept. I am a lazy beggar, you know, and take every advantage of such a charming hostess.
Oh, tut-tut. You're incorrigible. Miss Bennet will receive a false impression of your habits.
On the contrary, Lady Catherine, I've already received only the best, especially of Mr. Fitzwilliam.
Upon my honor, you know. Well, you know, that's quite a spontaneous compliment, dashed if it isn't. I hope I shan't disappoint you. Oh, pray, Miss Elizabeth, I should like to hear something about Darcy. How did he behave in Hertfordshire society?
Very strangely.
Miss Bennet.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but truth compels me to state that he was unsociable and silent most of the time.
Are you criticizing my nephew, Miss Bennet?
Criticizing Mr. Darcy? Oh, Lady Catherine.
No, I thought you would not presume to. But now I must leave you for a bit. A tour of inspection, you know. I've heard that some of the cottagers are disposed to be quarrelsome again.
Oh, yes, I've told them so often the duty of counting their blessings, Your Ladyship. Ah, but you wouldn't believe it, Miss Elizabeth, how discontented some of those foolish people are with their nice little two-roomed cottages. But Lady Catherine settles all their differences and silences their complaints.
I can well imagine it.
Now, I'd really listen to no more compliments for today, my dears. Good morning, Miss Bennet. Are you coming, Fitzwilliam?
No, thank you, Aunt. I don't feel as well qualified as you to tell the villagers how to live.
You are probably right.
I shall stay and plague Miss Bennet a little longer. And then find Darcy and go for my constitutional.
Very well. Oh, and remind me, my dear Elizabeth, I want to send some advice to your mother. I'll speak to you later about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Lady Catherine.
Oh, I say, Miss Elizabeth, do you mind if I ask you something?
As long as I don't have to answer.
It's about Darcy. Well, I'm fond of the solemn old owl, but why are you so prejudiced against him?
Prejudiced? I didn't know I was there. Frankly, I dislike him. It isn't very polite to show it. I hoped I did not. I have very good reasons for my prejudice. As to that, you might ask him why he adopts such a superior attitude.
Oh, it's the confounded pride of his. It's always mistaken for conceit. But when you really know him, he's...
Is there really much to know beyond a supreme self-assurance and a disdain for anyone under a peer? Such snobbery in a well-born man is incomprehensible to me.
I always thought only inferior people were snobs.
Well, it's surprising how many well-born people are like that. It's taught them by their nursemaids and governesses when they're youngsters. Oh, but Darcy has an awfully decent character underneath all that nonsense. He has a heart and mind, too, if you can only get him to open up.
I shouldn't bother to try.
I'd really like to change your opinion about the old soul besides. Well, I'm such a stupid ass. I have no vocabulary when I want to convince.
You're a loyal friend, and I like you for it. But I am wondering, nevertheless, if you could really mention one kind action.
Yes, yes, I can tell you one.
Well, let me hear it.
Very well. What would you say if I told you that he stayed tied to London all last week, just to keep a friend away from temptation?
Temptation?
The temptation of making a disastrous marriage.
Oh.
This friend of his, a chap named Dingley, or Bingley, something like that, evidently conceived a consuming passion for a designing minx he met at some outlandish place in the country.
Oh, that happens so often, doesn't it?
Yes, doesn't it? Of course, she cared nothing for him, only wanted his name and his fortune. She was aided in her nefarious schemes by a particularly awful specimen of a mother.
Perhaps it was one of those mothers whose kind intentions are often fatal to those she most wishes to help.
Yes, probably. But in addition to that, the girl had a pair of sisters who, well, must have been veritable she-wolves. Poor Bingley was as good as caught.
But Darcy snatched him from the jaws of the she-wolf?
Yes, exactly. He only mentioned it to me because I happened to ask him why he'd stayed so unusually long in town. But it was really a frightfully decent, unselfish thing for him to have done.
Indeed it was. And I see I've been underrating Mr. Darcy. I did not know he was made of such heroic stuff.
Yes, rather. I say, Miss Bennet, are you laughing at me?
Oh, no, Captain. Not at you.
Well, I did want you to know the truth. Open it up. He's coming.
Fitzwilliam, are you going out?
I was, but I'll wait.
No. If you will take the same road as we discovered yesterday, I'll join you a little later.
Oh, good. Au revoir, Miss Bennet.
Au revoir.
Miss Elizabeth, I wish to speak to you.
I should have thought it evident that I wished to finish my letter.
You're not very polite. You were such a stickler for politeness in Hertfordshire.
We are most of us sticklers for virtues in other people.
Miss Elizabeth.
Sir? What is it, Mr. Darcy?
It's no use. In vain have I struggled. My feelings will not be repressed. You must allow me to tell you how ardently I admire and love you. I've fought with myself all these months. You may think I'm speaking without due thought, that my feeling for you outweighs my common sense, that this love for you that consumes me is a thing that will pass. But it is not so, Miss Elizabeth. I have learned that in the bitterness of my self-abasement. I love you.
Do you expect me to take you seriously? Have you so quickly forgotten the inferiority of my family?
I have forgotten nothing about you. I love you.
Have you considered my unsuitability in the eyes of your exalted world, Mr. Darcy?
I have considered it, and I love you.
You need not say it again, sir. What am I supposed to reply to this extraordinary harangue? One can scarcely call it an offer of marriage. You do not, I suppose, expect me to feel flattered.
But do you expect me to be glad that your family is inferior to mine? Or blame me for being honest and sincere when making the most momentous decision of my life?
Decision?
Yes, my dearest. I have decided to ask you to marry me.
I suppose I should be overwhelmed at this honor.
But
I ought to congratulate you on overcoming the battle between your unwilling affection and my unworthiness. But you see, I happen to be quite uninterested in your problems.
Elizabeth.
If you were not so lacking in perception, sir, you might have spared yourself my refusal.
You refuse me?
You might have noticed the fact long ago. I've never hidden it. I neither aspire to, nor could I ever return your affection. As for your scruples about marrying into my family, don't let that ever concern you again.
Is that all the reply I am to be honored with? I might perhaps deserve to be told why I have been rejected, and with so little civility.
I also might deserve to know why you consider my feelings so little while expressing your own.
Please, if the manner of my revelation has offended you...
I am influenced by something deeper than your manners, Mr. Darcy. I am thinking more of your fine capacity for cruelty.
Cruelty? And when have I demonstrated that capacity?
Mr. Darcy, have you never willfully injured an innocent person?
Oh, you are referring again to my treatment of Mr. Wickham. That still preys on you. The fascination inferior men exert over superior women has often been a puzzle to me.
Inferior? Do you always apply that word only to other people?
I feel justified in using it toward Mr. Wickham. Unless, indeed, the word cad might be more descriptive. If the principal evidence against me is based on your faith in the word of a man like him...
This is unworthy of you, sir.
I know you do not choose to believe me, but let me most earnestly warn you against him. He is an unprincipled, designing...
I refuse to listen to you any further. But it is not only what you have done to Mr. Wickham, although that would be quite enough. Even if I cared for you, and I never could, nothing would induce me to marry the man who has ruined my sister's life. The sweetest soul ever born. How could you do it? How could you have hurt her, having once known her? Can you deny that you came between Charles and James?
I did everything in my power to separate my friend from your sister. Towards him, I have been wiser than towards myself.
You talk to me of love. They love each other, she and Charles. Jane is one of those who will only love once. It will kill her, I know it will.
You wish to think badly of me.
I have no choice.
I have made the mistake of being honest with you.
Honesty is a very overrated virtue. Tact and sense are more agreeable ones.
My scruples with regard to your family were natural.
And should have been kept to yourself. Let us end this distasteful subject. You could not have made your offer in any way that could have tempted me to accept you, Mr. Darcy. You are the last man in the world whom I could ever be prevailed upon to marry.
Forgive me for having taken up your time. I wish you every happiness.
More tea, Mama.
Oh, no, dear. I don't think I shall ever recover sufficiently to enjoy tea again.
Nonsense, Mama. One recovers from anything.
Oh, you can say that. You're so young. Think of our position. Jane, ill of love. Lydia, gone with that dreadful Mr. Wickham and not even engaged, much less married. And your father in London searching everywhere for them. What's to become of us?
It does seem as though nothing else could possibly happen to us.
Miss Elizabeth, I thought you might wish to know. Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley are coming up the drive in their carriage.
Oh, that is the final straw. That odious Darcy and that cad Bingley. I won't see them. I'll go to my room.
Show the gentleman in here, Hill.
Yes, miss.
Miss Elizabeth at home?
This way, please. Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley.
I hope we are not intruding, Miss Elizabeth.
I can't help wondering what it is you want here, gentlemen.
Miss Elizabeth, may I be permitted to see Miss Jane?
She is gravely ill, Mr. Bingley.
I was shocked to hear it. I was told of her illness only today. Mr. Darcy learned of it at Rosings and found me in London and brought me here. Oh, I know that you and your family have every reason to think ill of me, Miss Elizabeth. And I shouldn't blame your sister if she refuses ever to see me again. But there are some sentiments that are too strong to be denied or suppressed. Please do let me see her, Miss Elizabeth. I assure you
I understand. She's out there, on the terrace.
Thank you, Miss Elizabeth.
Mr. Darcy, I find myself in the unexpected position of having to thank you.
You need not embarrass yourself. I only beg that you will accept my word of honor that I had no idea that Miss Jane cared seriously for Charles. He knew no more of it than I. Miss Bingley assured us both that your sister had only a passing interest in...
Miss Bingley formed her opinion too readily, as I did in my judgment of Mr. Wickham. Mr. Darcy, you must tell me what you know of him.
You care for him?
No. But it's very important that I should know the real truth about him.
Well, part of the story he tells is true. He was granted a small legacy in my father's will. I saw that this was more than fulfilled. I gave him £3,000 on the offer of the clerical living at Pemberley. He haughtily refused the living, but graciously accepted the money. It was squandered within a year, thanks to Mr. Wickham's ill luck in gambling and his fascination for women. He was driven then to more desperate measures. He learned that my sister was at Ramsey.
Mr. Wickham, and your sister?
He persuaded that child of 15 that she was in love with him and made her promise to elope. Thank God I arrived in time to spoil the plan.
Oh, if I had only listened to you, I might have saved Lydia.
Lydia?
She was staying at Brighton with the Forsters. She and Mr. Wickham eloped from there. That's why my father has just gone up to London. He will never marry her. She has no money, no connections, nothing to tempt him. Lydia is done for.
Oh, please, please.
You see...
You must not despair.
You see, my family is not only inferior, but disgraced now. You should be grateful to me.
Miss Elizabeth, please do not think me rude, but I must ask you to allow my departure. Will you call your butler, please?
Yes, of course, but may I ask...
I must return to London at once.
Did you ring this?
Will you please see that my carriage is brought to the door immediately?
Yes, sir.
And now, Miss Elizabeth...
You needn't say any more, Mr. Darcy. I can quite understand your desire to see the last of his family.
Oh, please, I...
Not another word, sir. Just go.
Very well. Good day, Miss Elizabeth.
Good day.
On such a morning, Mama?
Yes, indeed, Jane. Even the weather seems to be celebrating your engagement with that dear Bingley, my love. Oh, dear me, I must learn to call him Charles now that he's to be my son. You know, Jane, I can scarce sleep a night for happiness.
Dear Mama.
Two sons-in-law. Both my daughters to be married women. Oh, how proud I feel, to be sure. Lydia already married to that naughty Mr. Wickham. Father certainly managed all that business very well. If it were not for Lizzie, I cannot bear her to turn out to be an old maid. If only she'd not been so uppish with that young Mr. Collins.
Yeah, well, let's hope it'll be a lesson to her. Marriage is in the air, I see. Two in the family. Completely restored you to health, eh, Mrs. Bennet? And you too, Jane, your old self again? When does Mr. Bingley arrive?
He'll be here any moment now, Papa.
That friend of his, Mr. Darcy, is a very extraordinary young man. We've seen quite a lot of him at the Gardeners while I was in London. Come in, Lizzie.
Darcy at the Gardeners?
You see, Lizzie, you thought him so proud. I told you you misjudged him.
Oh, Lizzie thinks she knows more than everybody else.
Oh, no, Mama. Not everybody.
Of course, you're only 20. Though, to be sure, I was married to Mr. Bennet when I was 17.
Yeah, but remember how irresistible you were, my dear.
Don't despair, Mama. While there's life, there's hope. And after all, I've still some of my teeth.
You shouldn't joke about such things, my dear. You know, Lizzie, you can't expect your papa to find another 10,000 to give to you. Or your Uncle Gardner. He, I understand, found the sum for us. Though I earnestly hope he doesn't expect us to pay it back.
I didn't know my uncle could spare so much money.
Anyway, I'm glad someone in the family was able to find the money for darling Lydia's dowry.
Otherwise, no doubt, the naughty Mr. Wickham would have to continue to live in sin with her.
Oh, Lydia, your own sister. If the servants were to hear you...
But isn't that the accepted way of mentioning a young lady and gentleman who are traveling about in post-chaise together without benefit of clergy?
There's no way of mentioning it. Not for respectable people.
My poor Uncle Gardner had to spend £10,000 so that respectable people could mention it. I only hope he has not sacrificed the principle of his fortune for this worthless pair.
You can dismiss that worry from your mind, Lizzie.
What do you mean, Papa?
Oh, my good, kind brother. I knew he would manage everything.
But £10,000?
But it's none of your business, Lizzie. Lydia's married and secured. Now that's all that matters.
Cannibals and brigands are gentle in comparison.
In comparison? With what?
Mothers.
Did I mention that it was through Mr. Darcy's efforts that we found the pair?
Mr. Darcy?
And that he obtained the money for us to buy back Lydia's respectability?
It's not true, Mr. Bennet.
He must be a noble character.
But why should Mr. Darcy do all this?
I understand that he detests Mr. Wickham, and he's never been at all nice to my daughter Lydia. I should have preferred my brother Gardner to have paid the money. Why didn't he, Mr. Bennet?
For the very simple reason, Mrs. Bennet, that he hasn't got it. And as to why Mr. Darcy played the philanthropist, that will probably be revealed in its own good time. But remember, Lydia and Wickham are never to know.
You needn't worry about me ever telling. I prefer Mr. Wickham to believe that members of our family provided his wife's dowry. Then, when I wish to visit my girl, he can never object.
I'm not at all decided to receive the Wickhams here, Mrs. Bennet.
Why? We must receive them, Papa.
Why, yes.
Lydia has injured herself enough without being cast off by us.
Well, perhaps you're right.
Oh, how wonderful it will be to see Lydia again.
Mr. Charles Bingley.
Oh, do come in, my dear Mr. Bingley.
Your servant, ma'am. And your sir. My sister sends greetings to you all from Netherfield, and to you especially, Jane.
Please convey mine to her.
Ah, how charming. Everything just as it used to be.
Ah, not quite, ma'am. I'm hoping, you know, to have a new lady there very soon. I came over today, sir, for your consent. You received my letter from London?
My boy, you are the first suitor for any of my daughters who has met with my approval. With all my heart,
oh,
sir.
Thank you.
This is the happiest moment of my life.
You're a good girl, Jane. I am happy to see you'll have a husband worthy of you. I have not a single doubt about the success of this marriage. You are too much alike not to agree. You are both so sweet-tempered that your servants will always impose on you. And so generous that you will always exceed your income. Bless you, my children.
Mr. B., you do say the queerest things. My daughter Jane has never been extravagant. And for exceeding their income, dear child, has $5,000 a year. That ought to be enough to keep them from the almshouse.
Mama, don't you think I could go for a walk with Charles in the garden?
Oh, Miss Lydia. I mean, Mrs. Wickham.
Lydia, my darling child. And Mr. Wickham, allow me to greet my first son-in-law.
Oh, Mama, such a journey as we have had.
Terribly tedious indeed. Oh. Well, how's my new family?
Oh, Jane. Oh, Jane, my darling. Shall we go into the garden?
Yes, let's.
Well, Jen, I can't believe this.
Is it more difficult to believe this than what you believed in London?
Jane, you knew I loved you when I left Netherfield.
Oh, yes, but I had that knowledge all entirely to myself. Its only value is when it is mutual.
But I was assured of your indifference, my darling.
That, sir, is a credit to your modesty rather than to your judgment.
If I had only known.
If you had only asked. Oh, Mr. Darcy.
Oh, my dear fellow, I didn't know
Mr.
you.
Mr. Darcy, please wish me joy. It's your doing, you know.
Words wouldn't do it for me, my dear Miss Jane. I wish you both every happiness. Tell me, where may I find Miss Elizabeth?
Right in there, Mr. Darcy, in the library.
Oh, thank you again, Miss Jane.
You? I did not expect...
I hope I am not altogether unwelcome.
I'm glad of the opportunity of expressing my gratitude for all you have done, for all of us.
Let it be for yourself alone. For whatever I did, I thought only of you.
Of me?
Miss Elizabeth, you are too generous to trifle with me. I came to ask you if you continue to feel towards me as you did in London.
I could not imagine that such matters still concerned you, sir.
That matter will always concern me, Miss Elizabeth. Can you ever forget my past arrogance?
Surely in such a case, a good memory would be unpardonable.
Elizabeth.
I'm so ashamed. If you had not been noble and just, you would have hated me. I was the stupid one, the foolishly proud one.
No, my dearest, only the prejudiced one.
When I think of the way you requited my incivility, my cruelty, oh, I cannot bear your kindness.
But if all these things that you so exaggerate had been done by your husband...
Enjoy your triumph. I'm abased. I never wanted to see you again.
Do you still mean that?
Yet, no.
Dare I ask you again? Again?
My father says you were the sort of gentleman one would not dare refuse anything he condescended to ask.
My cruel, my kind. Oh, my lovely... Elizabeth.
You have just heard the great play Pride and Prejudice, Helen Jerome's dramatization of the Jane Austen novel with Jessica Tandy as Elizabeth and Colin Keith Johnston as Darcy. Others in the cast were Ethel Owen as Mrs. Bennet, William Podmore as Mr. Bennet, Olive Deering as Jane Bennett, Ian Martin as Bingley, Charita Bauer as Lydia, Gerald Henry as Wickham, Philip Tong as Collins, Dorothy Sadlier as Lady Catherine, and Winston O'Keefe as Fitzwilliam. Pride and Prejudice was adapted for radio by Ranald R. McDougall. The special music was written by Tom Bennett. The orchestra was under the direction of Joseph Honty. A Great Plays Drama Guide by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money orders to Great Plays National Broadcasting Company, New York City. The Great Plays Drama Guide contains a summary of the plot, sketch of the author's life, and pertinent facts about each of the 30 plays in the series. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays of this series. Next Sunday's production will be Prologue to Glory by E.P. Conkle.
Great Plays are presented as a public service for the National Broadcasting Company and the independent radio stations associated with the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company.